Broadcasting live from Virgin Radio HQ, Dubai Media City, to the UAE. Chris Fade.
And this is how it goes.
Come on, Pretty Malik.
Say it, Rossi. Say it.
And Big Rossi.
Chris Fade is my everything.
Oh!
With the biggest stars.
Hey, yo, what's poppin'?
The Chris Fade Show.
The biggest prizes.
50,000 dirhams cash on that pop quiz.
And the biggest hits.
The Chris Fade Show, live on Virgin Radio 104.4.
In 3, 2, 1, go.
Hello, Mum. Hello, Dad. We're live. Good morning. 7:01, March 28th. How you doing? Good morning, Pretty Malik.
Good morning.
Good morning, Big Rossi.
Hello there.
Morning, guys.
Good morning.
Love it. We're all together once again, the family that is. How are you?
I'm doing very well.
How was the last 24 hours for all of us?
I am happy to report I did not wake up at 2:30.
Great. You had a good little nun. You had a good little sleep.
I had a good little sleep, so I'm very excited. Good. I'm super excited about today.
Well, I mean, you're excited because tomorrow you're going on a plane to New York, New York. The best feeling.
You know, most exciting feeling is when you get the email for the check-in.
It's like, do you want to check in now?
Yes, I do.
Did you check in?
Yeah, I'm going to.
Did you get your seats? You got everything sorted?
Yeah.
What time's your flight tomorrow?
We go to the airport at 11:30 tomorrow night.
Okay, so you got like a 2-something flight or something?
Yeah, 2:20 a.m.
It's good you can sleep then.
Yes.
Go for a nice sleep.
Yes.
Do you land in the nighttime or the daytime?
Morning.
Oh, that's the best flight. I don't like landing in, like when I travel, I don't like landing at night.
Why?
I just feel like, because you... As soon as you land, you want to go exploring and you want to go look at stuff. Or you want to go see people.
Yeah.
And when it's night, you're sort of like, oh, I've got to go, just go to bed.
I feel like it's a waste of a day almost.
It is. Yeah, it totally is. Yeah. Rossi, you said goodbye to the family yesterday.
I did, yeah. I took them to the airport. That was such a seamless experience. And I was absolutely gutted, though. Because the guy at the check-in recognized who I was, and I wasn't even getting on the flight. I couldn't benefit from it.
So you couldn't get an upgrade?
Couldn't get an upgrade. I'm not going to get an upgrade for 3 kids and a wife, am I?
I messaged Liz yesterday because she was posting videos of them at the airport. I said, I don't know how you do this, but you are like Superwoman.
She is. I don't know how she does it either. I was talking to my dad about that yesterday.
Like, wow. Yeah.
It's not easy to, like, she's got, you know, 3 kids, one of them, you know, under a year or just a year.
Yeah.
And just traveling to London.
It's
good on
her. It's not a short flight either.
Can you tell her, sorry, I missed her video call? I missed it last night.
Oh, Chris. Mm. Silly.
No. Are you being serious? No, it must have been a mistake, was it?
Okay, well, if you think it was a mistake.
He's just stopping.
No, I woke up, look, see, video call, miss video call, Liz.
Oh!
Yeah. Well, you do know that Pisces and Cancer, they have the best friendships.
So, is she a Cancer?
Yeah.
So is Brianna.
So I'm happy.
Yeah, I'll just tell her, I'm sorry I missed the call.
Okay, I will.
You know, the other thing was, in your video, Alfie took a big tumble on the seat, on the what do you call it?
Yeah.
The bag.
Yeah.
Is he okay, just before he got on the flight?
Yeah, he's a tough little kid.
I love it because he paused. And then he looked, and then I just saw the explosion.
Yeah, that's
happen.
What kids usually do that. They usually look for that. They're in shock for a moment. Then they, if you ignore it, or you just, come on, get up, let's go. That's probably the best way to handle it, rather than go, oh, the baby, come here, you're all right.
You didn't. That's correct.
Can you just do that once more?
Yeah, don't do that, because then they get like a fear. But
I love it.
He was stiff like a pencil, wasn't he? Lying on top of the suitcase.
Like, what?
Luckily, though, he landed on a neck pillow, which was good.
There it is. Well, it's 7:04. We've got a beautiful show this morning. We've got the one and only Bassem Youssef joining us on the show.
So excited,
Bassem Youssef. We had him on the show a couple of months ago. Actually, I've got some news I want to share with you and all of us. And it's got to do with Bassem Youssef and New York. And I'll explain more on that coming up. But Bassem Youssef will join us on the show just after 8 a.m. this morning. Before that, I've got a 2-night stay at the Hilton Dubai Creek Hotel. We've got a big show. Let's get it underway right now. These screens behind us, I wanted to change the signs on it. It says the Chris Fade Show. It's got weekdays, Virgin, but we wanted to change that.
Yes,
I asked it like about a year ago.
No, but I did. It was in...
We were waiting for our photo shoot, I think.
No, I
don't want the photo in there. No. I'm saying our photo. They've got a picture of us on here. I don't think we need the picture on us because we're here.
The person who was supposed to be told was told, and then who? The next person was told.
Who's the person?
Who's the one who creates all of our digital?
I don't know, but I know where he sits.
Okay. Okay. So, can we go today?
Sure.
Jenny's involved. Jenny, are you involved in this one? You're not involved?
No, no.
Is Rossi at all involved?
No.
I think we should get Rossi involved.
Well, when I need something to be done, I'll get it done.
Yeah, he gets it done.
Yeah.
Can you change the screen?
It may be a year late, but I'll get it done.
No, get it done. Let's go. Like, get it made. And what's with your TV screen behind you? It's broken.
That was somebody else who did that.
Who did that?
I can't say who did it.
No.
I'm not a snitch.
Who broke it?
I don't snitch.
Basma, who broke it?
Don't say it. Basma.
No, Basma says it.
Basma.
Rossi broke it. Oh, wow. Did you break it?
Yeah, I broke it.
How did you break it?
I've got to pay for it.
So we've got TV screens behind us, and one of them has been completely smashed. Let's turn that on. Does it even turn on anymore?
No.
The one
next to Rossi's chair is broken.
Oh, it finally died.
That's been broken for like a month.
Yeah.
Do you have to buy a new one?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
The company's charging you.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to pay it. I'm going to buy one on Tabby and pay every month.
Oh, it's dead.
I'll pay it. I'll buy it. I'll buy it for you.
Thank you.
What brand is it?
LG.
Oh.
NEC.
I don't know if I'll buy. I'm not sure if I can. Okay, well, what should we do with that? That's a broken TV. We can't have a broken... We've got Bassem Youssef coming into the studio.
Listen,
and we've got a broken TV here.
It's okay. This is,
you know when people come over to your house and your mum and dad or your grandparents, they clean the salon real quickly, they get everything, they get all the nice plates. Do you guys all have a room in the house?
Yes.
Do you have a room in the house?
Well, not a room because we live in a small apartment.
Yeah, yeah, a small apartment.
But it was the dining table. The dining table.
Yeah.
Oh, you take out the good china.
Yes.
Yeah.
The plates that you never see except once every 5 years. It's like a leap year.
Yeah.
They come out.
Yeah,
you
I
sit
know.
There. On the table, we pretend as if we eat on the dining table every single day. No, we don't.
It's like it's all fake.
No, we don't.
When the guests come around, it's all fake.
Yeah,
we had this one room in a house. We were not allowed to step in it. If we were kids and we went in that house, my parents would lose it. Get out of the salon. But when the guests came up, sitting there.
Kids,
I'm laying all on this seat that I could never touch before. I'm putting my feet on it. I see my daddy in the corner looking at me like, get your feet off it. I'm like, nah, I'm taking the opportunity. The friends are here.
Virgin Radio 104.4.
Pretty Malik's Gossip.
With Disney Plus. Don't miss the latest series and bingeable favorites on Disney Plus. Watch FX's Shogun, Grey's Anatomy, and so much more. Download the app and subscribe now.
Hi, what you got, Pretty Malik?
You want to be jealous, Chris?
Okay.
I can guarantee, I mean, I want to be there. I know you would want to be a part of this little friendship situation. Chris Hemsworth and Matt Damon went and got tattoos together.
What did they get? I'll go get the same.
No, you're not. I'm not going to show you.
What was the tattoo?
Chris Hemsworth got something all across his, like, what do you call this part of your arm?
Forearm.
Forearm.
Yep.
And Matt Damon, I couldn't remember the name. And Matt Damon got something on his shoulder.
But
Matt Damon looked like he was in a lot of pain. Look at the way Chris Hemsworth is caressing Matt Damon's forehead to support him during the process.
Cute. Look at that. I didn't know that they were really close friends.
Me either. And their wives were like hanging out in the background. So cute.
Matt, what's his name?
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon loves Australia. He spends a lot of time in Australia. Maybe that's where they became mates.
When, this Trudy Lines, who is a very famous tattoo artist, came and did it. I think she's from LA.
Was she?
It was in LA.
Yeah, cool. I'm saying, but I think he spends a lot of time in Australia. So they probably that's how they bonded, being in Australia. If you had to, marry one of them,
Chris Hemsworth.
Oh, really?
Hands down.
Nala, who you gonna marry? Chris Hemsworth or Matt Damon?
Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah. There's no Matt Damon.
I love Matt Damon. If it was Matt Damon and someone else, then if it was like Matt Damon, Affleck, I'll pick Matt Damon.
What's the kicker though? What's the reason?
It's Chris Hemsworth.
Have you looked at him recently?
What do you like about him?
Him.
His
just
name.
Him.
Height?
That would be weird actually. I changed my mind. Matt Damon.
Chris. You know, Matt Damon and John Cena, if you look at them, they pretty much look very similar.
Maybe
they're
brothers.
And Mark Wahlberg. Get Mark Wahlberg, John Cena, and Matt Damon. Man, they could be brothers.
They should do a movie, triplets.
They should. All right, what else you got for us?
Pirates of the Caribbean coming back. You know, that's a $4.5 billion franchise.
That's
they did
crazy.
Five movies. However, Johnny Depp will not be a part of it.
Oh, really?
Yes. Uh-oh.
So they're going to have a new, what's his name?
Captain Jack Sparrow.
Yeah. Oh, so that's hard.
Jerry Bruckheimer, who is a famous yep. producer, he did Top Gun, he did all these. He said that, I can't tell you details, but we're going to reboot Pirates so that it's easier to put together because you don't have to wait for certain actors, which means it's going to be a new cast.
Maybe Harry Styles.
Oh, that's a good shout,
yeah,
actually.
Harry Styles could definitely do it.
Yeah.
Who would be Orlando Bloom?
Orlando Bloom will probably play himself still.
I don't think he's going to come back.
But Captain Jack Sparrow is based on one of the Rolling Stones, right?
Harry would be good at that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right,
okay.
Finally, what have you got?
Okay, somehow Prince Harry's name has made its way into court documents in this whole Diddy saga. I don't know how. So there's a producer by the name of Lil Rod. He filed a $30 million lawsuit against Diddy last month, accusing him of everything that we've been hearing, the assaults, the trafficking, etc. Right? For some reason, this guy decided to put one sentence in there that said, Prince Harry's association with Diddy, because they know each other, makes Diddy legitimate. That's literally the sentence. For some reason, back in 2007, Diddy performed at the concert for Diana, which him and his brother did every year.
Okay, yeah.
So they met once in 2007.
Okay.
So this producer goes, well, because they met, it makes Diddy legitimate, therefore these claims are true.
Okay, that's weird.
I don't know how that conclusion happens, but Prince Harry is now named in this lawsuit. But just to clarify, he's not a defendant or named as one of the people being sued or anything like that, but he's in the lawsuit.
I mean, this whole Diddy scandal is going to bring down a lot of people. Yeah. That's what they're saying. Yeah. We'll keep you posted here at Virgin. Thank you, Pretty Molly. Hit us with your tag.
Peace out, home price.
Hanging out here on the Chris Fade Show, the family that we are. We all hang out together. Nala, has Pretty done anything to offend you?
No, why?
Because you don't come in for the gossip anymore.
There's a situation here that we had to fix because of the audio for Boston, so I couldn't leave.
What's the situation?
So, for some reason, when we mixed down two audios, it was turning mono.
Mono.
So, if we played it, it was going to play from one.
Rossi, explain mono.
Comes out of one speaker, basically.
Yeah. So, that means we would have had the interview recorded only coming out of one channel.
Yes. Okay. And when we're mixing down two files that we want together, like music and an audio, it was coming out mono as well. So Safraz fixed it for us.
Hey, guys. Safraz. Guys, Nala's single. Just letting you know.
Look at her go.
What's up, man?
Because there'd be some DJ.
What does that have to do with anything?
There's some DJ tech audio guy going, wow. Had no idea Nala knows all about this mono stuff. I'm just saying. Just saying. Putting it out there. You're doing a great job. Thank you, Nala. Basma.
Thank you.
No, I didn't say you're doing a good job. I just said your name. I only said your name.
That's offensive.
Yeah, I only said your name.
Okay.
You're doing a good job, Basma.
Thank you.
She's going to eat you alive.
Safraz, yeah. Safraz from IT, are you there?
He left.
He left.
He doesn't want to talk to you.
I was going
to
say he's doing a great job as well.
He does the best job.
It's 7:44. Yeah, we've got Basma Youssef joining us in the studio just after 8 a.m. this morning, which is going to be absolutely brilliant. Also, I want to talk about the mosquitoes across the country. We're all getting these. Are we all getting bitten?
It's terrible.
Okay, I've got an exclusive on why it's happening, all right? Well, it ain't no secret. I thought it was just my house. My mom was complaining to me, this new house you have is mosquitoes everywhere. I cannot go anywhere.
Yeah.
I can't do anything.
They are bad because, you know, me and you, we're sort of in the same neighborhood now.
Yeah.
But they are bad around there.
They are. And then I found out from speaking to a few friends of mine. And then on the social media, there's mosquitoes everywhere across the country right now.
They're down the drains, you know.
Every single day, I have to put the spray on inside my house.
Same. That's what
if
we're doing.
If I open the door,
they're in.
It's like I try to slide into the door so that it doesn't stay open for longer. They're killing me.
Yeah, so because we renovated the house, we've had like guys walking in and out of the builders. We've had to have the doors open all day, right?
Right, yeah.
And then we had to air out. We had the house painted, so we had to open up all these doors. We had things being glued, so we had this toxic smell. So we opened up the doors, and then the next thing you know, we were getting, like, literally eaten alive. Last night, went for iftar with my dad. We had to sit outside because it was full inside the restaurant.
Right, right.
Within a second, we were getting mauled. So I asked the, like I used to ask for sanitizer during COVID.
Yeah.
I said, do you have, like,
bug spray?
Yeah, bug spray, repellent? They're like, no. So I walked to the pharmacy, which was just, you know, 20 meters away, went and bought some, and we had to spray it on us. So listen, it's a change. Obviously, with more rain that we're getting as well, it does attract. I mean, growing up in Australia, this is what every day was, mosquitoes and flies all the time. So it won't stay with us forever. Obviously, when summer comes, those mosquitoes will decide to find a new home. However, how crazy is this? If mosquitoes weren't to be around, we would have no rice in this world.
What do you mean?
Rice. You would not be able to consume rice.
He's checking his phone now to see if that stat is
correct. No, it's true. I'm going to look. Frogs, ants, spiders, mosquitoes, dragonflies, geckos would not have anything to eat. They eat these mosquitoes. So if all the mosquitoes disappeared, many animals would have a lot less food. And imagine if all the rice in the world disappeared. Nobody only eats rice, but rice would disappear tomorrow. A lot of people would have a lot less food. It's a chain. I don't know how it works.
How do we get from
mosquitoes? I don't know how it all works, but I know that if these mosquitoes weren't around, a lot of animals wouldn't have anything to eat, and then it's a domino effect.
Well, they're eating me, and I'm over it.
So you can't just say stuff like that and not know.
Mosquitoes form an important source of biomass in the food chain, serving for food for fish, for birds, for bats, for frogs, for adult flies.
But what does that do with rice?
It's a domino effect because don't you know how things are harvested?
There's not dragonflies in rice, is there? What's going on?
I don't know.
No, maybe it's like the same thing with the bees. You know, they pollinate areas.
Like if bees were to go away, it'd be unbelievable. Anyway, so just, you know, put up with it. Do what you got to do. But I don't know how we do it here on the Chris Fade Show.
Yeah.
Honestly, we get down to the source, all right, of the mosquito infestation right now. And I've got the Queen King. He goes by the Queen King. Marty the Mosquito is with us.
What?
He's live in Dubai right now. Marty, how you doing?
Hi. Hi, guys. Good to be on the radio.
Marty, you sound like a bee. I didn't know you were a mosquito.
No, it doesn't sound anything like a bee. It sounds like a mosquito. Now, Marty, tell me, man, you're causing a bit of drama for us. What's going down?
It's just the traffic, you see.
But you can fly.
Yeah, I mean, can't you just fly out of there?
Yeah, initially we wanted to go, but now we've met some people and we're all starting families here. It's a great place to live.
All right, well, there you heard it first from the words mouth of Marty. Marty the Mosquito, thank you very much. Any final words you'd like to leave for us here in the UAE?
Yeah, sorry to make your blood boil. We'll be there soon to take it.
All right, there he is. Thank you, Marty, the mosquito.
Or the bee.
Let me do the intro right here.
My next guest tonight had a political satire show in Egypt.
Egypt's foremost political satirist, host of the now banned television program.
It would be Egypt's last political satire show.
We're joined by senior Middle East correspondent Bassem Youssef.
Bassem Youssef.
It's Bassem Youssef! Yeah! Looking like John Cena right now, the size of it. let's just talk about the physical appearance. You are looking after yourself. Look at you.
Yeah. Well, as I told you, I said like, you know what? I'm coming to Chris Fade Show. Let me put my best attire. And I said like, I'm going to the Chris Fade Show.
Yeah. It's family.
Come and relax. But we're just talking about you just keeping fit and all of us trying to keep staying fit. Something that's important for you, right?
Of course. It's my midlife crisis. I mean, I have just turned 50 and now it dawns on me the inevitability of age. And disintegrating and just like fading away in the world. So what is the most important, substantial, and deep thing that you can do? You just build muscles and be very shallow.
Right. I'm fantastic. Trying to do that every day.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
right. Building muscles and being shallow. Bassem, before we get into talking about you, we want to talk about us.
Yes.
Which includes you.
And it includes us.
It includes us. We... The last time you were here, which was a few months ago, we did an interview. That interview, I want to tell everybody right now, has been nominated for a New York Radio Award for
what?
Best interview on radio. The Bussum Yusuf Chris Fade Show Virgin Radio has been nominated for a New York Radio Award, which is a very prestigious award. So, Bussum, thank you for sprinkling your
It's my Midas touch.
That's right.
Everything I touch turned into gold. It's the Bussum Yusuf up, everybody.
Touch me. Yes.
Thank you.
No, but seriously, we were blown away when we got that. So when do we know? I think in about 30 days, 30 to 45 days. All right.
Well, the prize money is amazing, mate. But
I mean, it's radio.
You get about a dollar.
It's like exactly radio. You hear about it, you never see it.
Exactly. Tell me about it.
But yeah, so we're doing this interview just to see if we can get nominated again. That's the main reason.
Yes.
No, you're here. He's back in the UAE. He's the icon. It's Bussum Yusuf. Now let's talk Abu Dhabi first of all.
I think you know what got us the prize.
What?
Like the short pieces. It's Nella crying. I think the sob session.
And I don't know. I know sometimes.
I'm not making fun of your pain, but I am.
Right, more Nala.
Last time Bussum was here, Nala was crying because it was an emotional
not crying,
chat.
Sobbing, please.
You were sobbing and crying. I think you were doing it all. And no, that I think that was a moment. I think the interview last time that we caught up was just such a great interview because we spoke about everything that you've been doing over the last sort of 6 months, and it was like a roller coaster. It was up and there were downs, and you did what you did, Bussum, which was control the situation and know exactly how to handle a situation. You've been very, very busy. You're here and you're doing a show in Abu Dhabi.
Oh, yeah.
At the Abu Dhabi Comedy Week, which is huge. You were on stage May 24th, which is a Friday.
Yeah, well, actually, it's huge. First of all, it's a double show.
Ooh. Okay.
So you get like two of the impressive ones. My friend Maz Jobrani and me.
Oh, I love Maz.
We're going to have a Middle East tour. We're going to include Kuwait, Muscat, Amman, and maybe Lebanon. And 24th of May, Yes, Island Arena.
Yeah, that's nice.
And I tell you why this is so important and why it's so scary. This is my first arena.
Oh. Wow.
You have to understand, like, Seinfeld has a very famous saying, said, like, how much you're doing comedy is your age in comedy. So you've been doing it for 5 years, you're 5 years old.
Interesting.
So I'm a 5 6 years old infant. And
have you only been doing comedy for 5 years?
Stand-up comedy in English, yes.
Wow.
So you go in, and here's the thing: what people don't understand about arenas. You go in, and it's like you find like 6,000 people, 7,000. It is scary, and it's maybe it is terrible for comedy, because there's so much air,
right.
And the ceiling is so high. So you're standing there, and it happened. I tried that on a lower level. So my biggest audience so far is like 3,000 people. I did that in the NJPAC, the New Jersey Performance Arts Center, and it's big and it's huge. And because of the air and because of the acoustics, you don't hear people laughing.
Oh. Do you know
the laughter disperse. So you deliver the punchline and you expect a certain haha, and you say.
So what do you do? What were you doing?
And the thing is, you don't see them because you're on stage and there's spotlights.
Yeah.
So you basically see the first two lines where basically like you're like you feel like they're on mute. They're like, I see you laughing, I don't hear you laughing. And then you have all of the every single time that I do like a big show, I come up like, did people laugh? And people like, what are you talking about? People, the whole place was shaking from laughter. But it
doesn't.
And
feel
when
it.
You don't feel it, that it reflects on your energy.
Yeah.
So you need to learn how to be in my head, not in their heads. That's very, very, very difficult.
You know, Kevin Hart did an interview recently, and he said he puts microphones in arenas for that exact reason. So he will plant microphones.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Audience,
yeah.
Well, we're trying that. I've actually been trying that, but I don't know how Kevin Hart and those people can afford. This has to be a very expensive acoustic system because they want to deliver the laughter, but they don't want to deliver the chatter.
Yes, correct.
So that's not easy.
So true.
Wow, that's okay. So it's Etihad Arena, guys. May 24th. Maz Jobrani is going to be there alongside. This is amazing. Bussum Yusuf, go and grab your tickets right now. Etihad Arena, as we said, Yas Island is where it's happening on the 24th of May. Is it? How hard is it as a stand-up? Like when we went and saw Kevin,
Hart,
a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah.
No phones. Like they take the phones off you.
Mm.
What are your thoughts about that?
I don't know. It's to take a phone out of the hand of an Arab.
Chris went back to like, check his.
It's true.
Take my baby, but not my phone. So here's my wife, but not my phone.
Would you ever think of doing it? Because I understand, you know, I was trying to work out, you know, obviously why they do it. And I understand it's the material that you sit down and you write for months upon months, and you don't want it just to all go out on social media and spoil the rest of the tour.
This is the, and also when people take this with their phones, it will never be as good as it is on stage.
Sure.
So people's like, oh, what is this? That's not funny. So I don't know what's the logistics, but something like I'm talking with the people there, and to control that with people, that's very difficult.
All right, well, grab your tickets. It's Friday, May 24th, as we said, Etihad Arena. It is his first huge arena show. We are so glad that it's happening here in the UAE. Bassem Youssef, you're cool to hang around. We've got a lot more with you.
Oh, all right. I have nothing
all right,
to do.
Cool. this is ironic. This song is called Congratulations, and we're congratulating the one and only Bassem Youssef right here. Everybody, and we're going to do a fake laugh right now for him.
My ego.
Here we go. We're live, back live on Virgin Radio 104.4. Joined in the studio once again by the ever so cool Bassem Youssef. You can see him at the Etihad Arena. He's getting set up. Friday, he's doing push ups or something.
This is seated push ups.
Workout done.
Friday, the 24th of May, Etihad Arena. You can go see him. You've been very, very busy, of course. Apart from doing stand up comedy, traveling the world, doing what you do, you've been doing a lot of podcasts. You do what you do. How do you... I want to play like a board game with Bassem and Bassem be on my side. Because
yes.
You have the ability of... Have you just read a lot? How do you know so much, especially about certain topics that we're all talking about right now?
Well, 6 months ago, I didn't. 6 months ago, okay. I didn't. Like, okay. My information of what's happening in the region was like whatever like an average person would do. I didn't get into the nitty-gritty parts of it. After the first Piers Morgan interview, it was not much about information other than about like basic logic and satire.
Okay.
But then I said, like, I cannot continue doing that. I need to educate myself. So I did what nerd people like me do, and I studied. So what I did, I formed a team all around the world, from Washington, New York, Germany, and the Middle East, historians, politicians, even people from inside the Knesset, all of those people. And some of them are my friends, some of them like I was introduced to. And I said, I need to be a formidable opponent where all of the stuff that we hear, all of the things that used to shut down the conversation, I need to have a good comeback. So I started to dig in, and I did kind of like a categorized file where I know exactly if somebody says that, I know exactly the same response. If I do this is going to be the historical context. And I worked with like many people. Like it was at a certain point I was working with 12 different people from 12 different countries, and and then I take all of that and I studied and then I would practice that. If I gotta get this question, I need to answer this in exactly like 30 seconds or 45 seconds. Because what I noticed from the debates about these topics, people just like go on and on and on, and it doesn't become interesting for the people.
Right.
And we are in an age where you need to be snappy and be pretty fast, be informative. So this, I treated this the same way that I treated medicine, studying, and I treated this the same way that I treated stand-up comedy, which is studying and delivery. So in order that I needed to be always up to date, so because sometimes some of the discussions from the other part, they throw you off, and they know that. So when it comes to me, it's like, I know that, I saw that coming. So it's all about preparation.
It's like you're preparing. What you explain then is an athlete preparing to win a gold medal. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
You have a team of people, you're training, you're getting ready for it, and then you get ready for the race or the battle of whatever it is. You recently did a podcast with a guy called, is it Adam Scola?
It's with PBD. Like, and the thing is, here's this. Okay, so I was in Miami.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I since Piers Morgan, that was already in October, and that was in January now, and I haven't been going on many
podcasts,
interviews and podcasts, because, you know, at the time, I'm like, oh, you're capitalizing about what's happening, and I was like, you know what, I don't need that.
Yeah.
So anyways, I was doing like a series of shows in Miami, and my agent said, like, Bassem, we're gonna do this. Now this was the worst week in my life. I was in Los Angeles. I traveled to Boston, mm-hmm. did shows, went back to Los Angeles, went from Los Angeles to Dubai, went back to Los Angeles, went back to Los Angeles to Dubai again, went back to Miami. I was doing the 1 billion summit and I would the Arab Strategic Forum at the same time.
Yep.
So I was basically like one day, 17 hours flight, come back, and then at the and so on the day of the interviews, I had like four or five podcasts lined up next to each other. I'm like a zombie, and not just that, I pulled my back with all of these traveling
luggages. Yeah.
So I had like the worst. I had an old disc injury, so I was on like a whole bunch of painkillers, anti-inflammatories, painkillers.
Oh gosh!
So I was literally drugged. I was drugged. So I'm there sitting there. So I didn't prepare for that one. I'm very tired, and my sister's like, "Oh God, this is one of those promotional podcasts. Like, hi, the best music in town, guys. Go see us on the Miami Improv." And I was like sitting there, and then suddenly everybody started to ask me about Trump, and why is Trump better or Biden better? I was like, "Okay, fine." And then that guy, the rude guy, started to ask me, like, hit me with, like, what do you think is happening? Why do you think I'm happening? And I said, yeah, dude, whatever. And I'm so, there's like a dark cloud over my head. And then suddenly, 20 minutes in, if you see this interview, the first 25 minutes, I'm stumbling over my I can't see. And then he started like that. I said, okay, I'm in a trap. And all I could do is just like garner my information. So he started to insult me. He started to kind of like throw insults to me. Yeah. And all I can do is like, dude. And I just like replying with facts. So everybody, and he's like, "Oh my God, Bassem Youssef has the patience of a saint." It's like, no, I was drunk. I was high.
Yeah, but you still destroyed him.
I didn't have the energy.
Right.
But this was the best education for me, because I talked about this before. Many of those people, they want to push your button in order to, they want to play on your ego.
Yeah.
So they go into this personal attacks, so you would lose it. So it becomes like a shouting game. So sure. And this is exactly what they want you to do.
Yeah.
So the thing is, he was doing that, and I was not responding. I was not responding because I couldn't. and he was like telling me all of these stuff, and just like I was responding with facts, with facts, with facts, and it ended, and he looked like a jerk.
He came across not looking great at all.
And at the end of the day, I looked like a very informative, knowledgeable person under the influence of drugs.
You know your stuff. Awesome. Bassem Youssef hanging out with us. We've got a few calls here right now. Nada, hi, you're on with Bassem. What do you want to say?
Oh my God. Obviously, salamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Zaykia
Basha.
Hi. Okay, so I'll get into it. Okay. Since you've been vocal in the media the last few months, okay. Do you feel that your words have affected positive change in the Western community, and how have you seen it?
I think the Western community is too big. You know, it's too big. Like, the Western community is just that there are millions and millions of people, and some of those people won't be even exposed to what I say. Yeah, you have to understand, like, the average American life, those people have, like, you know, they have ESPN, HBO, streaming, whatever work. And they have very little time to look at the world news. And usually they have like, what, a few minutes, 15 minutes, half an hour, and they will take it from the usual
sources.
So, but sometimes a few things goes through the cracks. But did I affect the Western media, the Western side? I don't think so. But maybe some people kind of started to see something different. At least we are introducing a different way to carry on that conversation.
I think you did.
These are increments. This is increments. Yeah. It has to be over a long period of time.
But I think you did. I think you definitely opened up. And I say that because I have friends that are in America. I have friends that are in Australia who both sent me your content. And that's when I was happy. And I was like, oh, I love that they're sending me that content. Nada, thanks so much for the question. Great question. Do you want to say goodbye? I'll let you do your...
Bye-bye!
Bye-bye. We love you. And I can't wait for your comedy show. I'm going to be in the first drone shot. Allah, you'll see me. I'm the girl with curly hair, okay?
Give me more clues.
It's another show, Bussum. That's another show. All right, more with Bussum Youssef next. Hold on. The Chris Fade Show, the one and only Bussum Youssef is in the show. How are you at a wedding? I can imagine you being at a wedding.
You'd be fine.
Have you been, I guarantee your management have been asked for you to attend some weddings over the last 6 months.
Yeah, weddings, bar mitzvahs, everything. Yeah.
Oh, he's got it. You can see him do his stand-up show alongside Maz Jobrani. You guys know, you guys have known each other for a while.
Oh, my God. Maz is such an incredible person.
Good and he,
I have a story about Maz Jobrani already.
Sure, let's
so,
go.
Okay, so Maz Jobrani has a reputation in the comedy world that he is a nice guy. He's one of the nicest people in general. So he said, like, oh, Maz Jobrani, oh, he's nice. So Maz Jobrani used to come to me and complain about, like, it's like, they said, like, he's nice. He's like, but am I funny? They say fun. So recently, me and him did a show together in Los Angeles. And most of the people there were Arabs, and they came to see me. The moment that I got on stage, people came in, standing ovation, Bassem, so I went in, and Maz just like, dude, they adore you. They respect you. I said, yes, but did they think I'm funny?
I'm sure they did.
Yeah, is he the human ego?
Yeah.
Oh, they respect me. Like, yeah, but and then if they think I'm funny, it's like, do they respect me? Yeah. We are horrible human beings. We just, our ego is such, this is the downfall of humanity.
Yeah, it's the ego. I agree. Yeah. I think ego, it just gets in the way of everybody. I think it destroys people's careers. I think there's people that would have the best career ever, but their ego has stopped them because they don't allow it. And I think social media plays a big role in that now as well.
Oh, 100%.
Right? So, okay, if you want to see if they're funny, they're nice. I know they're nice, but are they funny? May 24th, Etihad Arena. It's part of the Abu Dhabi Comedy Week. Before we get into our little competition that we want to go, Zoya has been hanging out, and she wants to know more about the comedy side. Zoya, you are on with Bassem Youssef right now.
Hello, good morning. Big fan, Bassem.
Hi, Zoya.
How are you? Okay, just ask two questions. What inspired you to be a comedian, and what struggles or challenges did you face in this journey?
Oh, what inspires me to be a comedian? Well, actually, it all came by chance, because I never grew up saying, like, oh, I want to be a comedian. I was also a doctor all my life, and I just did this YouTube videos in 2011, went viral, and then suddenly I am giving my own television show. So I found myself kind of falling into comedy. And then when I left Egypt, I had to find a way to survive, and because I couldn't do the show that I did in Egypt, so I started to teach myself stand-up comedy in English. So it's always like it was a kind of either by chance or by necessity. Mm. What was the second question? What struggles
have you faced trying to become a comedian?
Oh, it's terrible, especially if you do stand-up comedy. First of all, there's the struggle that you did when you do political comedy in the Middle East, which is it's a struggle by itself. But the struggle, the struggle now, not just like the because I do stand-up comedy in English and in Arabic. The struggle is comedy and humor is the most subjective thing ever.
True.
What is funny for something of someone, it is not funny for someone else. Like, for example, I can go into a show in a comedy club doing two shows back to back, one at 7 o'clock, one at 9 o'clock, same room, same material, different crowds. Totally different shows.
Wow, really?
It's just like the slightest thing that you, every time you go in, and you might have done your set 15,000 times, you do not know what will happen. It's the most unpredictable thing. The soundtrack of every single show that you have done is vastly different. Sometimes something happens, you respond to it, you don't respond to it. Something, though, a little thing can just like spoil the whole experience. So it's the beauty and the ugliness of life performance. You don't know what you get, and you hope for the best, and you don't. You just like hope it doesn't just get ruined. So it is. There is this kind of a stress, but it's also. With comedy, and I think with performance in general, you always have this idea, and that's like your ego again talking. I did this, even if it did the best day. It's like, how can I top this?
Mm.
What can I do this? I don't know. You have this all of like doubt and insecurities that maybe you're not good enough. And I'll tell you from personal question, my personal journey, what is my biggest problem doing this? My biggest problem is that I had a mature crisis in Egypt. In 1 year, I had the number one show in Egypt. And then in this kind of past few months, I just like being propelled again to the top. When you go up so fast, two things would happen to you. You either get arrogant, get full of your head, or you get too scared because in your mind, I went up so fast, I built up this building so quickly, and you worry if you don't have that much of a strong foundation to support it. So when you are you're up there, in your mind, you're on flimsy foundation. And that's why you get very nervous, because in your mind, any single mistake that will happen that can actually bring all of that down in a second. So comedians and performers are one of the most insecure people ever.
Yeah, you don't know that you could say one thing that could spoil it all. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
And and not just that, you don't know if because you've went there, you arrived there so fast. You don't know if you have put the work or put the foundation or put what can actually make that stand longer.
So
you always feel that you're on flimsy feet. You're feeling a bad foundation. That is the whole thing of like, when can this be taken away from me in a second? That's the big fear.
And you have experience, though, quote unquote, with fame now. You've dealt with it. I've seen, and you would have seen some people, especially when it comes to influencers, I see these influencers who just out of nowhere grab a bit of fame, grab some followers. I've never seen so much ego in my life from some of them. And then within 2 years, they're gone. You never hear from them again.
So true.
And I think that's what you're saying. You got to make sure you've got that foundation below you.
And maybe I'm blessed that, because like when I started to be famous, I was already almost 40. And I went through a whole life of being a doctor, a resident, doctor, you basically people, you get humiliated for most of the life. You're going into the army, and it's the humiliation, this kind of humility that kind of like makes you think, when I became famous, like, oh, I'm not used to that. Like, I'm not used to why people are taking pictures of me. It's like, why people like me that much? I'm not used to that kind of love. I'm used to more criticism.
This is weird. Life's good. Zoya, thank you so much for your question. Hey, I mean, you were a heart surgeon. God forbid something happened right now and the equipment was here. Could you still do and perform a surgery?
I would call 911. I would call the ambulance.
Yeah. But you still got it.
Nobody performs a heart surgery in a radio studio.
But if you had to, you would still, I'm saying, even if you were in a theater, you'd still know what to do.
I will stall. I will open the skin incision very, very, very slowly. I will do all of my steps very slowly until you get a real doctor.
Okay. Sure. You're still saving our life. Okay, Bossum, you're talking about stand-up comedy. Rossi and I are going to deliver some dad jokes right now.
Yeah.
We're both dads.
Dad jokes or dead jokes?
Dead dad
jokes.
Dead dad jokes.
So that's actually a great one. Dead dad society.
So they're going to go one for one, okay? Okay, Bossum, I need you to not be too nice on this. I need you to have like a serious face on and only laugh if you think they deserve the laugh.
Okay?
And we're going to see how many laughs they get each. They're very competitive.
Welcome to the Dead Dad Jokes.
This is He's not very dead. Morbid.
I love that I've actually added this.
Yeah.
You should say that. Dead Dad Jokes, sponsored by Bassem Youssef.
Go, Rossi.
Oh, why I go first?
To Bossum, go ahead.
Hi, Bossum. This is intimidating. It's my nightmare, actually. What's the most common doctors in Egypt?
I don't know.
The chiropractors.
That was so bad.
No, I thought that was actually good. He associated Egypt and everything, like...
It's clever.
Thank you. I just wrote that myself.
It's clever.
But
no
laughs.
No laughs. No laughs.
Let me write my own. I've come up with one.
This is a bad idea.
What does a tick and the Eiffel Tower have in common, Bossum?
I don't know.
They're both parasites.
Wow, guys.
Clever.
Talking about buildings and construction, I got offered a construction job in Egypt this morning. I was absolutely devastated because it turned out to be a pyramid scheme. Pyramid scheme.
Can't even deliver it.
Yeah. Was that clever?
I know.
Okay.
I do it in my show.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
All jokes, okay. Go on, Chris.
But mine is much better.
Of course.
The delivery is a bit better, right?
Oh.
He's laughing. He's no, like, is that about?
No, he's laughing at his own.
No,
stuff.
I'm yeah. laughing because of yeah. me.
Yeah.
You're laughing at yourself, his own jokes. Okay, go, Chris.
Maybe something that you should do too. To fill the space.
We'll get some microphones over here.
Do I get a point? Okay.
Yeah, you win. You're so far, you're
Give
winning.
Some microphones.
Guys, please, back to me.
Sorry, Chris.
Go.
You know, there's 26 letters in the alphabet, but Vasim, I only know 25, and I don't know why.
Let's move swiftly on. Let's move swiftly on.
He liked it, though. He liked it.
He's not laughing, though.
No. I like the cleverness.
Thank you.
I like, it's kind of like, this is the kind of a crowd in a comedy show. It's like, And that is not the kind of reaction you want to have in a comedy show.
No. Is there a winner?
No, one more H. One more H.
Okay, this is it.
Listen, it's another Egypt joke.
Oh my gosh, why are you only doing Egypt jokes?
He Googled it.
I visited a strange small shop in Egypt recently. There was some really weird goods for sale in there. Honestly, the whole thing was just a little bizarre.
Oh my gosh.
That's very bad.
I'm so embarrassed.
Sorry.
Uh-huh. Okay, Chris.
You know, like Rossi, Bossum, I've got a phobia. I don't trust stairs. You know stairs?
Yeah.
They're always up to something.
Oh my gosh. These are so bad.
I knew this was a bad idea to start out with, honestly.
But here's the thing. Because I love Chris.
I got it up! I've won it! I've won it, ladies and gentlemen.
It's not fair.
Thank you so much. If you want to get some real laughs, go and see Bassem Youssef. The Abu Dhabi Comedy Week, May 24th.
He's the host. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I had to brown nose this. I had to.
He's so honest. He's very honest.
Bassem,
tell us, man. You just no, I was funny. You don't
of course. Yeah, of course. You're funny.
We want to thank you, as always, for coming in. I mean, we've just spent nearly an hour together, and it flew by.
Oh, yeah.
Love it,
which is amazing. What do you want to say? You're on the radio right now. What would you like? You got so many fans. We have a lot of people calling and messaging as the interview's going on. But what do you want to say to everyone that just follows you and sees what you do?
Well, first of all, every time I come to Dubai, it is being home, and not just because of the place, but because of the people, the friends that you do, you acquire here. Everybody's here is beautiful and it's nice, and they're just like very, 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 very lovely. And I feel quite at home, and this is actually my home, Virgin Radio. And Chris, you're always my brother.
Thank you, man.
Rosse.
Oh, thank you.
Nala.
Pretty.
Oh, look, pretty good.
Well, we love that. We always love having you come back whenever you... I know that, you know, Dubai is like a second home to you right now, yes. So please come back, and this is your home. But thank you. Keep doing what you're doing. We'll keep following your journey and appreciate you. And go and see him once again, May 24th at Etihad Arena.
One more thing. If you guys have friends in Europe, I'm doing the most intense European tour next week. 22 shows in 16 cities in 30 days.
What?
It is the most intense thing ever, and I hope I stay alive. I'm doing London, Paris, Europe, Malmo, Sweden, Oslo, Amsterdam, Rotterdam, Munich, Hamburg, Berlin. It is going to... Oh, Dublin. Birmingham, Manchester. So I mean, it's going to be crazy.
This is unbelievable. We're proud of you, man. We are proud of you. Look at you waving the flag across all of Europe. Go and see it. For more details, hit up his Instagram page as well. I know you've got all the dates there as well.
At Bassem.
I'm flying out to New York tomorrow, right? And I've been living in this beautiful country now for 16 years, like all of us have here.
Yeah.
I have a very important question for the expat life going home situation.
Mm-hmm.
At what year do you stop getting gifts for the people back home?
Just stop.
It's just like I'm putting together lists. It's like, oh, I'm going to see this person. But then they have kids, so then I feel like you have to give the kids something.
At what year do we stop? I'm done with giving gifts coming back or going. Like, you know I stopped giving you gifts.
Coming here, no. You please, no expectations from me. But going home, like I feel bad. Like I'm meeting the kids. You see the kids, you know, my friend's kids and everything. Do I get them something?
Just buy them when you're there. Do you know what I mean? Like when you get there, just buy them something. So that's
like
what I...
Like small, big?
No, like I just take them shopping. Like, you know, if depending on how close they are, just when they're there, take them down to the little toy shop if they're kids and be like, all right, what do you want? Go pick out one or two things that you want, and then that's don't lug stuff around. Honestly, don't.
I feel like they're judging me if I don't bring anything.
No, don't. You're not judged.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
Like, the families are going to be like, oh, she came from Dubai, she didn't bring anything.
No, pretty, stop. Now, listen, you are going home to New York, right?
Yeah.
I need you to be careful.
Oh, I know why. What?
All right? This is the headline. Multiple women in New York City have reported getting punched in the face.
Yep.
Several women have just taken to social media in the last 2 weeks of recent incidents of being punched by men walking the streets of downtown Manhattan in broad daylight. These accounts have shared on platforms like TikTok and Instagram. While the New York police have made an arrest in only one of the cases, they are investigating the others. These incidents matched. I have that video matching to it. They've seen the video. This is not made up stuff. There's videos of women walking down the street and random men punching women in the face. What is going on in New York City? So, pretty, you're going home.
Okay.
You're going home. You're not in the UAE. You haven't gone. When was the last time you went home? It's been about a year.
Yeah.
Remember.
Yeah.
You're not here.
I'm not here.
No, but honestly,
I got to be back in New York mode.
Isn't that a horrible headline?
It's so bad. And I saw it.
I saw it come up on TikTok as well.
It's the girl with the...
Yes, the girl had like an egg lump on her forehead, so, and she's like crying but sort of laughing because I think she's in shock.
She was completely shocked.
I just got hit by a guy. Someone, he just punched me in the face. She's got like a cartoon lump on her forehead.
It's so bad.
Horrible.
And then that video caused more girls to go like, oh, I was punched in the face today as well.
Everyone is just unhinged in New York right now.
It's scary, though.
But I just, man, I don't know.
I don't know. Well, I honestly don't know what I'm going home to, but I'll report back.
Can you just, all I'm saying, pretty, is please be careful.
Okay.
All right, please be careful when you're there. We'll miss you. You're gone for 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
All right, so if anyone's gone to New York City, just be wary, because that is. I mean, I'm not making it up. That's the headline in New York right now. Hey, how far are you away from Manhattan? You're in Queens.
10 minutes.
10 minutes.
I don't mean to laugh.
Maybe we need to go, Ross.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Guys, I think can I join?
No,
because that means we'll have to.
Guys,
okay, come. No problem.
Guys,
no problem.
If anyone is protecting anyone in New York City, it's me protecting you guys.
No.
You guys don't know.
No.
It's like, you don't understand. As soon as I get off the plane,
New
York breathy, Queens breathy kicks in, and all the spidey senses are tingling, and I know what's going on.
Right. I'd honestly be fearing for my life, to be honest.
So, like, I'll take care of you, Rossi. Don't worry. I got you.
Yeah. I mean, I may look big, but I'm cowardly.
I'm a product of...
Rossi is a big coward.
Yeah.
I've experienced it.
What do you mean you've experienced it?
When we were in LA, we were about to get into a fight, and I'm
also
like,
that time in Thailand as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. The time in Thailand. I'm up against like 17 guys, and Rossi's just walked off.
You won? Yes, he walked off. I was there with him.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to get involved.
What a friend.
Yeah. He didn't want to get involved. I got these Thai native guys ready to, like, kill me. Because they wouldn't let us on their beach, which is not their beach. It was a public beach.
Yes.
But they were trying to kick us all off.
True.
So I decided to, like, you know, do the Australian-Lebanese thing. Remember?
Yeah,
I remember it well. So, I mean, I didn't want to get involved.
So this is the thing. Chris,
I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Stop it. Chris is in this middle of this heated argument. I'm there too. We're all, like, yelling. We're like, no, we can be here. I turn around for a second while Chris is talking. Where's Rossi? Rossi is running down the beach.
There's drone footage.
I want to see it.
And we were there with other Virgin Radio listeners because we went on a trip together with you guys. And I would like to say that some of the listeners, they came in to stick up as well.
Rossi!
Like, so you could see the crew coming towards helping me out.
There's footage.
And Rossi...
I've had friends who have been in Thai prisons. I didn't want to go there.
That is it for us. Thank you to Bassem Youssef for joining us on the show. Another great show with him.
So good.
We're back tomorrow. More chances to win those overnight stays. Hey, Eddie's on next. That countdown that we're doing, the 500 top songs that you have voted for. We're up to song 200.
Oh, we're getting
200,
there.
Yeah. We're chipping away at this. Eddie's taking over next. Have a great day. Ramadan Kareem from myself, Chris Fade, and the team. Wear your seatbelts. Yalla, bye.
The Chris Fade Show, back at 6 a.m. Virgin Radio.